Aaron Karolnik. How you doing today from TSN Edge and, of course, from First Up? I had a good day yesterday.
No kidding, man. I mean, you should probably be heading down to Turks and Caicos. The James Duthie Resort is probably open. I think that's what they call it down there. And you could get a villa for at least 2 weeks based on your tremendous performance in the gambling world last night. Look at those predictions. Matt's confidence rankings on fire on Fridays here on Gameplay. Ooh, you are dialed in, my friend.
8-2 in the playoffs, over 60% of the regular season. Oh, by the way, Bogdanovich from Utah, he missed the over of points by about 15. I got
you're
that
betting
wrong.
Bogdanovich props.
Yeah.
Wow. I just think back to when we first met, probably that's more than 10 years ago now. This is just such an incredible transformation for you.
And
imagine,
Chris
like, hey, Matt, one day you're going to be talking about Bogdanovich over points props. And you'd be like, no, I don't think so. And lo and behold, that's the current situation in which we are. And
no
I
Donovan
love you for it, buddy.
No Donovan Mitchell, no Gobert. Bogdanovich was horrible, but I did say take the over for turnovers. I think I won that. And Chris Paul did not hit a double-double. So, but, you know, I'm transparent. I tell you all the good things I did. I tell you the bad things I did.
Yep. You're not like Mayweather. Like Mayweather posts his winning tickets only. He's probably lost millions, tens of millions of dollars. But anytime he wins, he's like, look at this huge ticket I won. And, you know, you got to be – transparency is key when it comes to gambling. I completely agree.
It's what I like about Barkley. You know, he talks about all the ones he wins. He talks about all the ones he loses. Like, I don't care. I'm rich. I can, you know, I can do it. Actually, before we get to anything, any thoughts real quick? Let's dip our toes for just a moment. Mike Riley retiring in the CFL, you know, probably the right thing. That guy, that almost no quarterback took the hits he did. The years in BC never worked out. Bad offensive line. It never hit the expectations that we wanted it to. As a CFL fan, to me, it's a bummer because you're losing a productive quarterback. I think this means, you know, most likely like Jeremiah Masoli, Trevor Harris. What do you think ends up with the BC Lions?
I don't think so, Matt. I think they have an in-house candidate, and that's why I think it's particularly exciting. And listen, Michael Riley, we know how he's a Hall of Fame quarterback in the CFL, 100%, no doubt. He will have his place enshrined in Hamilton, Ontario, at one point in the not-too-distant future. But I think this is Nathan Rourke's job to lose. He's been in the offense for 2 years. He was really good in his opportunities last year with BC. And when was the last time we had a starting quarterback who was a Canadian in the CFL? I mean, probably going back to Julio Caravata or Russ Jackson. I mean, it's been forever, and I think that's a really exciting thing.
Yeah, Brandon Bridge.
But I'm talking like a full-time, hand the reins to this guy, and that's what I think Rourke could be. Like, why would you want, like, Trevor Harris, Masoli? I guess. And would those guys probably at this very moment or to start the CFL season in June be superior options to Rourke? Maybe. But I think you kind of develop something for the future, and I think that's something that Canadian football fans can really get behind, too.
By the way, if you're the CFL, you're hoping that happens. I talk about it all the time. What can we do to make the CFL more popular? Blah, blah, blah. It's simple. The Canadian quarterback. Why do you think we were caring about the Aussie Open on like Wednesday morning? There was Canadians involved. We're like every other country on the planet. We root for our own. A Canadian quarterback moving the needle, being an above average quarterback, would be huge for this league.
Yeah, I think it'd be a lot of fun, too, to cheer for him. And I think he's a really good player. I think, most importantly, he's really good. And I think that is more important at the end of the day than his passport or anything else. If he can play, it's one thing, you know, like the ratio is something that's been debated and discussed with the CFL, should be something that exists at all. And I'm a proponent of it for sure, because I think the Canadians in the league are an important like part of and longstanding tradition of the CFL. But I think it's important that Rourke's there for merit as opposed to just being part of the ratio. And by the way, on the subject of tennis, and I have a Berrettini who is in the final four. He plays Nadal tomorrow, 43-1 to win the tournament. 43-1.
You know what? The funny thing is about tennis, all these value, it's staring at you. But then, I mean, you know what? Why not? This is not the old era where it's going to be one of three guys crushing you. We'll see. You know, I mean, I know Medvedev. I don't know. Medvedev, there's nothing about him that looks intimidating. And Nadal, that hair. Where was I last year? I didn't realize just how bad his hair looked.
Yeah, it's not a good look. He kind of looks like, I mean, not quite Brooks Koepka level bad hair with the bleach blonde, the M&M or 21 Jumps. Yeah, that's
the
true.
The bald
yes.
spot for Nadal. It's a, yeah. Anyway, well, yeah. That's my hot tennis conversations, Nadal salad.
I love it. We're basically Mark Rowe and Mark Masters right here with this tennis talk. Yeah, so I love it.
Except better. Who are you leaning in the AFC-NFC championship game? I don't know if you've already locked it in. And the lines, I don't see them moving very much. I mean, it was Chiefs 6.5. Now it's 7. I haven't seen it move much off of that. It's Rams 3.5. I haven't seen much movement there. Is there one way that you're feeling really good about with either of the games?
Yeah, I love San Fran to cover the 3.5 and to win the game outright. I think San Fran's the superior team to the Rams. And I was watching a clip. It was the Adam Chernoff, Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus. Chernoff does a daily show on the Covers YouTube channel. You've checked it out. Eager broke down why San Fran has had so much success against the Rams. And he pointed out something I had never heard before, even thought of, in that the San Francisco 49ers have the most pre-snap motion of any team in the NFL, and the Rams react based on the stats from the last couple of years under McVay's tenure in the Rams. Their reaction, I guess the production from the Rams defense against pre-snap motion is the worst in the NFL. So based on that alone, I mean, I think you're going to see San Francisco have a lot of success because the Rams struggle against pre-snap motion, and there's no team in the NFL that does it better or does it more than San Francisco. So that is a good sign for them. And I think everyone's looking at Garoppolo and talking about how terrible he was last week. He was awful. I can't remember a performance. Well, I guess Tannehill against Cincinnati may have been worse. It's close. Yeah. I think Garoppolo's going to have a big game. I think this is the ultimate kind of fade the narrative, fade the noise situation. And I could see Jimmy G putting up some good big numbers. I really could. I don't know what it is. It's a call it a hunch. But yeah. Debo is as good as it gets as far as receivers or just weapons that are left in the playoffs. And I like the Rams, but I don't trust Stafford. I'm sorry. I don't care. I don't care what he's done in the last two games. I'm talking about the totality of Matthew Stafford and everything he's represented over the years. Maybe. But I think there's definitely value in San Fran. I think there's definitely value in the money line as well.
There are two stats there. Aaron Donald, his two worst games of the year have come against the 49ers in the regular season. The 49ers, for whatever reason, they do a good job controlling Aaron Donald. There's certainly some value there.
Well, and if I could just add one more thing, there is the stat how San Fran has won the last six games against the Rams, which is absolutely true. But if you dig a little bit deeper, four of those six games have been one-score games. Three of those six games have been field goal games. So the games have been exceptionally close between these two. And I believe Shanahan versus McVay, of course, we know that storyline, the two head coaches who have long-standing relationships dating back to when they were, coaches on the Washington football team staff as like low-level special teams or like tight end coaches, whatever they were back in the day. But Shanahan has had McVay's number, and I think a lot of it has to do with Shanahan's ability pre-snap versus McVay's defenses, although he doesn't coordinate those, who struggle with the pre-snap motion. So that's something that I'm very fascinated by, and that's like a very like hardcore analytical perspective.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's
You're
one
going-
that is... That is really applicable, and I think it reflects why the Rams have had such a lack of success against San Francisco.
Oh, yeah, and then also just on top of that, one final point, Matt Stafford, four of his interceptions this year have come against the 49ers. All right, let's do a couple prop bets. Obviously, you are not with me. I like the Jimmy Garoppolo under 228.5 passing yards, so we'll move on from that. Here's one that I like. Cooper Kupp. With a catch of over 28.5 yards. No receiver was better this year against the blitz. He 51 catches on 60 targets against the blitz for 753 yards. So I even if you're pro or anti Stafford, I'm pro Cooper Kupp. So that's one that I like.
I believe San Francisco blitzes amongst the least of all NFL teams. I would have to check that. But I know last week for sure against Aaron Rodgers, they blitzed, I think it was 11% of snaps. So that would, I mean, listen, Cooper Kupp, you mentioned the 600 yards. He had 1,400 yards not against the blitz. So it's not like he's going to be completely shut down. I haven't seen his prop number. I would imagine Cooper Kupp's, 100, 105 yards?
Probably
something around there. I mean, I think that's safe to say. I wouldn't be betting against Cooper Kupp. The longest catch, I mean, I think what if we've learned anything throughout this NFL season, one singular thing, don't bet against Cooper Kupp in any capacity, because he is a terrifying proposition for opposing defenses. He is a terrifying proposition to fade in the gambling markets. And I think the last thing you want to do is going into this championship Sunday, but yeah, I can't wait for these games. And all you're doing is cheering against Cooper Kupp, because that would just be far too painful
miserable
to endure.
Miserable. Yeah. Oh, I absolutely agree.
I'm curious to know your thoughts, Matt, because Cam Akers is a guy, I mean, a remarkable story. Ruptured his Achilles. And well, I think that's the question. Two crucial fumbles. But the number of snaps, the number of carries, the number of touches he had last week basically made Sony Michel completely irrelevant. Daryl Henderson may or may not be coming back. Do you think McVay kind of reins in Akers, or if the usage is the same, because I believe he had 24 carries for like 48 yards or something like that, maybe this is a potential smash spot for him if he's getting all these carries and if you expect the Rams to, at least if the game's at least close.
I'm going the under. 60.5 rush yards at -115. I'm going to the under. I think the coaches hate guys who fumble. I'm not telling anyone anything. Yeah, anything anyone doesn't know. And also, at the very least, you can say this about Sony Michel. He's been in these games before. He's got a lot more postseason experience than Cam Akers. I'm not telling you to take the over on Sony Michel, but I am telling you to take the under on Cam Akers.
Our buddy Carlo Coliacomo texted me. I was going to listen to you guys, and then you started talking CFL, and I turned it off. Now, it is Carlo's birthday, so we should wish him a happy birthday. But that's very rude, Carlo.
Is his birthday today?
You didn't know that? You're living in a rock? Like, we're posting it on Instagram, on Twitter. Where have you been, Matthew? It is his birthday, and I know he's listening.
I haven't been on social media. Carlo, I got a birthday gift for you. I've created a time machine, and I'm going to do two things with it. One, I'm going to go back and kill Hitler. Two, the Bills are going to squib kick at the end of the divisional game. So that is your birthday gift, Carlo.
My birthday gift to Carlo was not using the word 13, as in 13 seconds for the Buffalo Bills. That's the only thing
How's
I could.
How's he doing? Is he better now?
He's all right. He's all right.
I have this image of Carlo driving to Niagara and just staring outside Al's brother's place with a knife.
Yeah, I'm sure it was contemplated, but
all right,
man. Okay, quickly, Matt. I'm just looking at Twitter right now. I'm just seeing a headline.
Yeah,
I almost struggle to believe this is real, but I know it is. Cinemas are allowed to serve popcorn.
Like, this is a real thing. Huge.
Are you seeing this? Like, so that was. I didn't know, number one, that the plan was for them to not be allowed to serve popcorn on January 31st when they opened. But I guess the Ford government, wow, what a tremendous decision. Well, a movie theater allowed to serve popcorn. In other news, convenience stores are allowed to sell Diet Coke, and dentists are allowed to clean people's teeth. Who knew?
No, but you couldn't do it. Last time I went to the movies right before the last lockdown, saw Spider-Man. Did we sneak in candy and wine? You're damn right we did. But we couldn't buy popcorn.
Wow,
we couldn't,
you should go to jail.
We couldn't have popcorn.
It's crazy.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I'm going to say something right now that's very popular on Twitter. I'm going to say two things. One, trade Nylander. Everyone on Twitter loves that. Mm-hmm. And two, I'm voting for Ford. Good for him. Bringing popcorn back to the movie
He's a true hero.
He is very popular in the old Twitter machine. All right, I'm going to give you my favorite prop bet for this weekend, and you can let me know if there's one you love. I'll just say this right now. I think KC wins. I think KC wins big. So I'm going to take the Joe Burrow over. This is a high number, 39.5 pass attempts, but I'm getting that at +135. I'm also taking Joe Burrow over 0.5 interceptions at -135. I think they're going to have to throw it a ton. I think they're going to get in a shootout. And eventually Burrow's going to get aggressive, make that mistake. So I like his over for pass attempts and his over for interceptions.
Love them both. I love every single over you can find in this game. And if you throw out the Steelers games that the Chiefs had towards the end of the season, like, the Chiefs of defense has been getting savaged by opposing offenses for a long time. Certainly last week would apply. And we had Ed Werder on our show this morning who mentioned a great stat. Think about Jamar Chase, what he did against the Chiefs defense, 266 and 3 touchdowns a couple of weeks ago. Then Gabriel Davis last week going for 204 touchdowns. I wonder who the breakout star is this week. I mean, could be Jamar Chase once again. Could be T. Higgins. Maybe Tyler Boyd. Maybe my boy C.J. Uzomah has a big performance. But I'm with you. This will be a shootout for sure. And this number has moved on the over-under from 53.5 to, I believe, 55 at this moment. Still seems low to me.
Still
seems low to me. I think this is going to be very similar to what we saw last week between the Bills and the Chiefs. And maybe the score won't be necessarily as high, but that was, I think, a combined total of 68 in overtime. I see no reason why this game doesn't approach 60, simply considering the offenses that we're going to be subjected to. I mean, there's no, like Mahomes versus Burrow, those guys will be airing it out. I love both those props, and I think they're definitely in play for sure. And you see Burrow's number almost, I think close to 300 pass yards, and he's eclipsed that in five of his last seven. Make it six of the last eight for sure. They'll be throwing the ball all over the field.
Yeah, the only way the under hits is mistakes in the red zone that leads to field goals instead of touchdowns. And also, if the offenses are almost too efficient, where they're just like first down, second down, like, you know, and they're just grinding out 8-minute drives. That's the only way I could see the under. Here's, okay, one final fun one for me. Throw it to you, get your thoughts. And this is plus 335. So people that are listening that maybe don't bet a lot, you bet 100, you win 335. Chase, Higgins, and Boyd to all have at least 50 yards receiving. Spread the ball around. It's like, okay, you know, you focus on one guy, then you go somewhere else. All three of them have 50-plus receiving yards. It's not something that happens often. That's where you're getting the number, but plus 335.
It almost seems like a low number because Chase is a lock for that, obviously. I think his number is 88.5, so he's going way over. Higgins was 62.5 last week. My guess is he's probably close to 70 this week. Boyd has not been targeted. If you look at his targets, he has not had seven targets in a game since week 12. So for whatever reason, Cincinnati's gone away from Tyler Boyd in the slot. And it's Uzoma who's getting a lot of the targets. I think he has six or more targets in six of his last seven games. So for whatever reason, Cincinnati has shied away from Boyd, but maybe this is a spot in which he thrives. We remember the last game between these two teams. I mean, it was Chase, a lot of Higgins, so it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. But I think Burrow and Mahomes are going to put on an exhibition, much like Mahomes and Allen did last week. And hopefully for Carlo's sake, maybe he gets a little bit of vengeance in seeing Cincinnati come. And by the way, our assistant program director, Stephanie Appolito, is calling me at this moment. I guess she's not a fan of gameplay. Very insulting, Stephanie.
Clearly she's not. All right, no. Well, you get out of here. But I'm just bathing in the warmth and the joy that not only popcorn, other food and drink will be allowed to be served at Ontario movie theaters when they reopen on January 31st. Yeah, that is fantastic.
Matt, quickly, I was watching Casino earlier today. What a film. Seen it many times. De Niro, Joe Pesci, as good as it gets. Tell me your top three Scorsese movies quickly. I know you're a big movie guy. I'm trying to figure out if Casino is in my top three. I think it's close. Goodfellas a lock for sure. I think
Goodfellas is number one.
Yeah.
Goodfellas is absolutely number one.
You've Departed.
One.
You have Wolf of Wall Street.
Nah, I think too, I'm... I think I'm going. I think Raging Bull at two, and
Taxi Driver could be in the mix too.
The problem.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No. The problem with Taxi Driver is I need something to at least be a little bit rewatchable, you know. And Taxi Driver, it's a. I mean, not that. Some of these are tough watches, but. I think I'm going to go, and I'm just looking up just so, maybe I'll go The Irishman. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to go.
So
I'm
long. I've still not finished it. I started it 3 years ago. It's the longest movie ever.
By the way, it needs to be said that, I'm going to go Raging Bull number two. Number four, by the way, I'm going to go Color of Money. Last Waltz, so good. But the problem with the Casino is it came out too soon. If Goodfellas never existed, we would all love Casino that much more.
I think that's absolutely spot on. Because Goodfellas, you can't live. I think probably the hype. I think Goodfellas came out in 90. Casino was like 93 or 94, something like that. And everyone, imagine the hype when that, like, and I was just a kid at that point. But the hype for Casino, you have De Niro and Pesci, the squad back together from Goodfellas in a new movie, kind of a similar feel. And it was really good. I love Casino.
I love
Goodfellas
Casino
level. Yeah.
So that's my top three. What's your top three?
I think I have to have Goodfellas 1, Wolf of Wall Street 2, and I'm going to put Departed at 3.
Okay, well, you're a little bit younger. I get it. I totally get it. By the way, shout out, underrated, The Aviator. It's just a gorgeous movie.
DiCaprio, absolutely fantastic.
Gorgeous. Fantastic, so good. Sorry, and apologies to Gangs of New York. But Daniel Day-Lewis, you were awesome in it. The movie was a little hit and miss. All the best, AK. I'll probably be talking to you tomorrow morning. Happy birthday, Carlo. All the best to you, my friend. We will chat tomorrow. Take care. Give my best to Steph Appolito. Make sure she podcasts this interview.
I guess she was listening, or someone told her, because she just wrote, oops. Ah, well, we love Steph. She does a terrific job.
By the way, once again, Sheldon Keefe on Overdrive at 410. See, Steph, I'm making sure that gets out there. Take care.